We are conscious that while God sees the entire world, while God sees the multitude, while God sees the crowd, while God sees this congregation, this grouping of us, He also sees us as individuals, and we want to recognize that for us, we should be somebody who God can rely on. In the passage that was read earlier, in Luke chapter 8, we see an interesting term coming up. If we can have it read again, Luke chapter 8, verse 45 through 46. We see Jesus in the midst of a crowd. And then he asked something that was a little strange for a crowd. Pick up at verse 45.
And Jesus said, "Who touched me?"
Who touched me? Read.
When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee."
So Peter is saying, "But Jesus, you're in a crowd. People are around you. How are you going to ask who touched you?" It's almost like Peter is saying in a nice and diplomatic way, "You lick your head? What type of question is this?" Read on.
Who touched me? And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me."
Somebody hath touched me. Somebody hath touched me. And it is this phrase that we want to take to form the essence of the study and to guide our thinking even as we progress through this year. Because yes, God is conscious of the world, of the multitude of us, but God sees the individual. Somebody touched Jesus Christ. And then the question rings, was that somebody you? Was that somebody you? We want to encourage us at the start of this year to be that somebody who prayed. We want to encourage us to be that somebody who cares. We want, as we embark on this new year, to be that somebody who shares. Yes, the church prays. Yes, the church demonstrates care. Yes, the church shares. But are you included in that somebody? If God is willing and give us the time and we reflect on 2022, Will it be that I was that somebody who prayed? I was that somebody who cared. I was that someone who shared. The principle that while God sees the world, the crowd, the church, that he watches the somebody too, is a principle that we see stretching from Genesis to Revelation. And while in this lesson, and I could easily have probably just titled the lesson, Somebody Prayed, was that somebody you? Because I am not so sure that I'll be able to get to the caring and the sharing in this lesson. But what is true is that God Almighty sees the somebody. He sees the individual. And if we go way back to Genesis chapter 6, we see the Almighty God having created the world, spoke the world into existence, including man. That here he is in Genesis chapter 6, and he looks on the world. Yes, that's the point we're making. That God sees the world. He sees the earth. He sees the magnitude of things. But when he looked on the earth and the things and how it is unfolding, his commentary was not good. Verse 8 of chapter 6 of Genesis, it says,
"But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord."
Okay, let's step back. Move back to pick up at verse 1.
Verse 1. "And it came to pass,"
yes,
"when men began to multiply on the face of the earth."
So God having created the world and man began to multiply following God's instruction.
"And daughters were born unto them."
Yes.
"That the sons of God saw daughters of men," mm-hmm, "that they were fair."
Yes.
"And they took them wives of all which they chose."
Jump down to verse 3.
"And the Lord said."
"And the Lord said."
"My spirit shall not always strive with man."
"My spirit will not always strive with man." Read on.
"For that he also is flesh."
Yes.
"Yet his days shall be 120 years."
Mm-hmm.
"There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men."
Jump down for time's sake to verse 5.
"And God saw the wickedness of man."
Here it is.
"Was great in the earth."
Pause. So here, when God looks on the earth, he saw the wickedness of man. Not only did he see that man was wicked, but he qualified the wickedness. And he says that the wickedness was great. Read.
"And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was? That every imagination, mm-hmm, of the thoughts, mm-hmm, of his heart was only evil."
Was evil.
"Continually."
Was evil.
Continually.
So when God looked on what the world had become, he summarized it as wicked and evil. And in describing the evil, he said the imagination was evil. The thought was evil. The heart was evil. You see the emphasis coming out of inspiration here? And I heard the brother emphasizing the continually. So it's not just a hit, a buck up. It is that this was what was going on and on and on. And so what we see here is that when God looks and assesses and evaluates, it was not a good picture. So it was wicked and evil continually. And then it says in the next verse.
And it repented the Lord. That he had made man on the earth.
Can you imagine? That when God assesses the situation, he had regrets. That he repented. You know, it goes on to say that he was grieved. That he was troubled. And God made a resolve. What are we talking about? We are saying that God looks at the world. He looks at the magnitude. He looks at the numbers. But he also looks at the somebody. And he makes a resolve. Continue reading. I think here at verse 6.
And it grieved him at his heart.
Yeah, grieved him at his heart.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man.
He says, I will destroy man.
Whom I have created from the face.
I created him, but I am going to destroy him.
From the face of the earth. Both man.
I'm going to destroy man.
And beast.
I'm going to destroy beasts.
And the creeping things.
Creeping things I will destroy.
And the fowls
of the earth I will destroy. And you see how things stay? God was not having dissatisfaction with fowls and creeping things and beasts. You know? It's us. It's the world. It's mankind. That he had displeasure with. It's our wickedness, our evil. But God made a resolve that he will destroy and destroy and destroy. He had regrets, it grieved him. Read on.
For it repented me that I have made them.
Yes.
But Noah found grace.
Don't go so fast. But. Took so long to get to my point. While God Almighty would be seeing the entire world and had this resolve concerning the world, we got a but. But Noah
found grace.
But Noah found grace
in the eyes of the Lord.
In the eyes of the Lord. What's the point? Somebody found grace in the midst of wickedness and evil. Somebody found grace. And so we ask the question, somebody found grace. Was that somebody you? Was that somebody you? What are we doing? We're looking and we have just started at Genesis. And we're going to see that even at the beginning here and at the end in Revelation, that the same principle comes over and over, that while God looks at the world as a whole, he looks at the somebody. But we just looked at the case of the woman. That though she was in a crowd, when we reach out to the Almighty God, when we seek to touch the Almighty God, that he recognizes that touch. Somebody say, we can't touch God? Well, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 to 16 tells us that we have a high priest which can be touched. You know, I put it in the positive, you know. The scripture actually says that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched. But if we remove those double knots, then what we are saying is that we have in Jesus Christ a high priest which can be touched. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. with our ailments, whatever our weaknesses and our temptations, Jesus Christ can be touched. Somebody touched Jesus Christ. Was that somebody you? You know, you're at the passage, verse 16, Hebrews chapter 4.
Let us therefore come boldly.
Let us come boldly
unto the throne of grace.
I want you to recognize what is happening here. Because we have a high priest in Jesus Christ that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, then what? Let us
come boldly. Unto the throne of grace.
Unto the throne of grace.
That we may obtain mercy. And find grace. To help in times of need.
And what we are seeing here is that because we have a God who can be touched, then let us pray. Let us be a praying congregation. Fix it up. Let us be a praying somebody. Because while the church will pray, we want to encourage us in this new year, in this, the beginning of the rest of your life, to be a somebody who prayed. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. I'll come back to this prayer thing in a little while. Let me just continue the sojourn and to make the point that we started with, to say that right through inspiration, we are seeing that God not only looks at the crowd, but looks at the individual. He looks at the somebody. Let us jump quickly to Revelations and let us look at Sardis. Sardis. So in Revelations chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, we are introduced to one of the seven churches. In Revelation, Sardis. And it says,
and unto the angel of church.
Unto the angel of the church in
Sardis. Right.
Yes.
These things saith, that he hath the seven spirits of God,
mm-hmm.
and the seven stars. I know thy works.
Yes.
That thou hast a name, and thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain.
You see, in verse 1, you know, one of the commentary we are getting in respect to the looking at the church is that you give off this impression that you are alive, but you are really dead. So this is one of the commentary that we are seeing. So looking, what are we saying? God looks at the magnitude. God looks at the crowd. He looks at the entire church. And here he is talking to the church in Sardis. And he's saying of the church, you know, you give off that you're living, but you're really dead. You're at verse 2.
Be watchful.
Be watchful.
And strengthen the things which remain.
Strengthen the things which remain.
That are ready to die.
Those things that are ready to die.
For I have not found thy works perfect.
I have not found thy works perfect. He's saying, church in Sardis, I have found your works imperfect. Not only have I found you to be really a dead church, an imperfect body of people. Jump down to verse 4.
Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis.
I'm going to come back to that. Read.
Which have not defiled their garments.
So you have a few names that have not defiled your garments. But what am I saying? That there are few that have not defiled their garments, but there are many who have their garments defiled. And so we are seeing that the church is deemed dead, imperfect works, defiled garments. And in verse 5 it says concerning the church, church in Sardis, I'm going to blot you out of the book of life. Verse 5.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment.
Yes.
And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life.
So again, the few, but what it is saying, except for these few, my trajectory of you as a church overall is that I'm going to blot you out of the book of life. Let this not be the commentary of us. Let that not be the commentary of this congregation. That God sees us as dead, imperfect, defiled, to be blot out of the book of life. But at the same time, we want to recognize that we as the somebodies, we as the individual in the church, that God sees us as an individual. There are a few names. There's somebody, even in this Sardis, who was on the trajectory, on the path of being blotted out of the book of life, defiled garments, dead and imperfect, that there was somebody, a few names, yet in Sardis. Verse 4 says, there are a few names that have,
even in Sardis, which have not defiled their
garments. That have not defiled
their garments.
Their garments. And there are a few. There's somebody in Sardis who walks with Christ. Read.
And they shall walk with me.
They shall walk with Christ.
In white.
There are persons in Sardis who will continue to walk with Christ. Even if the entire congregation is going left wing, let it be that we continue our walk with Jesus Christ. Even in Sardis, yes, the entire congregation was under the indictment. But we are told, read on, that not only will they walk with Christ, it stopped there?
In white.
Mm-hmm.
For they are worthy.
Worthy. So while the entire congregation would be under indictment, inspiration is saying that somebody was found worthy. Read on.
He that overcometh.
Somebody overcomes. Somebody, even in the midst of the crowd, can overcome. Somebody is found to walk with Christ. Was that somebody you? Somebody was found not to have defiled their garments. Was that somebody you? Somebody overcame. Was that somebody you? You're still at verse 5? I think there's more in verse 5.
He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment.
Yes.
And I will not blot out his name.
I won't blot out his name.
Of the book of life.
I won't blot out his name out of the book of life.
But I will confess his name.
But I will confess somebody's name. Before Jesus Christ is going to confess somebody's name. In the midst of a crowd and in a nation, in a situation where there are many, Jesus Christ is saying, if you overcome, then I am going to confess your name to God Almighty. Is that somebody you? Don't try to get lost in the crowd. God sees the individual. Because I want to talk a little about prayer some more, I won't go to Thyatira, but it was a similar situation where there was a direction or a view that God had of the church. But he looked and saw that somebody kept the doctrine of the faith. If it is that the church missteps, will you as somebody in the church hold on to first principles? Hold on to the basics of Christianity, to hold the doctrine of Christ consistent? God is looking for somebody to always keep the doctrine of Christ. Will that somebody be you? Is that somebody you? Remember, say that we want to encourage us in this, the start of the year. You know, we tend to make resolutions, promises, many of which we break. But I really want to encourage each of us. Yeah, you, that's you, that you somebody, to pray. We want to encourage that we be a somebody who cares one for another. That we be that somebody who shares. You know, in James chapter 5 and verse 13, you know, we are told that we should look out one for another. We're encouraged to pray. I'm waiting for you to get to verse 13 of James 5. When you are there, start reading.
Is any among you afflicted?
Is any among you afflicted?
Let him pray.
Let him pray.
Is any merry?
Don't move there yet. If you are somebody afflicted, pray. Prayer is powerful. Prayer makes a world of difference. You know, Jesus Christ, because he loves us, he prays. He prayed for us. You know, in John 17, from verse 1 right down to about verse, well, to the entire book really, Jesus Christ prayed. He prayed for himself. You know, that's another thing, you know. Let us learn to pray for ourselves. Nothing is wrong with praying for yourself. As you make your resolutions, as you have your spiritual ambitions, as you have your desires, let us pray to God. Jesus Christ gave us the good example. He prayed for himself. But not only did he pray for himself, verse 1 to 5, but he also prayed for his disciples. For those who would take on the mantle of leadership, Jesus Christ prayed for them in a special way. You know, one of the things I loved about 2021, it might have been false. I think I said it already. Might have been false. But I had a distinct feeling that I was prayed for. You know? I just feel like a lot of people were praying and calling my name. You know, and it reminded me of a writing that I found. I think it was a song, but it didn't tell who the writer was. But it's a song over the years that I've loved, or writing that I've loved, you know. And it says, somewhere, perhaps in the dark heathen land, God's loyal messenger faithfully stands. Faithful, cheered for the work left to do. And then it says, somebody prayed. Somebody prayed. Was that somebody you? You know, when we think about Christianity, and right here in Jamaica, and when we think of the different congregations that are scattered throughout the island, when we know of a young preacher like Brother Lowe in Independence City, when we think of a young brother Tito in Mona, when we think of a mature preacher in Brother Kidu in Bull South, faithful, cheered, motivated for the work that is to be done, undoubtedly somebody somewhere is praying. Was that somebody you? Are we a praying congregation? Stop. Are we a praying somebody? Are we that somebody praying that the work of God will continue? Prayer makes a big difference in what happens around. Inspiration tells us, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill ye the law of Christ. We cannot be selfish in our prayers. Jesus Christ, yes, I'm still on that point. Jesus Christ, he prayed. He prayed for himself. He prayed for the leadership, the disciples, the apostles. But here is it now. In his example, he not only prayed for himself, his disciples, but he prayed for all believers. Can we go there? St. John chapter 17 and verse 20. Having prayed for himself, because he was about to embark on a phase of his mission that was the most important, because that would have been his death, burial, and resurrection. He prayed for his disciples, 6 through 19, that they would be one, that they would be strong. But then he went on to verse 20, and it says,
neither pray I.
I don't pray for the apostles, the disciples alone.
For these alone.
Not for them alone.
But for them also.
But for them also.
Which shall believe on me.
That will believe on me.
Through their word.
Through their word. That's us. That's us today. We too must pray one for another. Let us pray and encourage one another. somewhere a brother, sister, maybe bow down with care. Yes, this life is full of care. Burdens might be pressing that are heavy to bear. When we feel all kinds of distress that comes from so many angles, sometimes we are bowed down with the cares of this world. Then in the midst of that, sometimes a sweet calm comes through. And I'm convicted that somebody prayed. It was a few weeks ago, in a note that sounded very apprehensive, that we had a sister was saying, I'm going to do a procedure. Pray for me. And then later on, we got a note. Things went well, but you won't see me for a few weeks. I need a little recovery time. And here we are on the Lord's Day in this 2022, and we can see the sister in our midst today. And she's saying to us, somebody prayed. And as a congregation, we said, yes, we prayed. But I'm saying beyond that, somebody prayed. Was that somebody you? We need to pray one for another. We could go on, because we have seen the goodness and the graciousness of God demonstrate itself over and over again. Many of us, at the start of 2021, we weren't in good health. But here we are in a better state. A few weeks ago, some of us could not come out of bed unassisted. And now we are here in the presence of the Almighty God, worshiping with the congregation. Somebody prayed. But brothers and sisters, I want to go beyond the church praying. I want us to make a resolve that as an individual Christian, that each of us develop a praying spirit, where we pray not for only for ourselves, but one for another. Somebody prayed. Was that somebody you? Yes. God expects us to care one for another. That is the spirit that he expects us to embrace. Can we go a bit further? Or should I leave that for another time? Because beyond praying, we need to care. It makes only a little bit of sense that we pray but don't demonstrate care. We need to go a bit further sometimes. Sometimes all we can do is pray. But we want to also pick up on the fact that we need to care, that we need to have compassion one for another, that when we have the opportunity to do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith, that we do so. Opportunities are many. Let us embrace it. But I'm going to leave that for another time. We are also expected to share, chief of which is sharing the gospel. Can I encourage us to share the good news of Jesus Christ? Let it be that as we resolve for 2022, that we share the gospel, that we are evangelistic, and not only share the gospel, that we also share our talents, our money, our time. There are consequences, yes, to not sharing. But that too, I will leave for another time. But I'm going to wrap up right here. Somebody prayed. You know, if you are afflicted, you know, call the elders, call the leaders. Let the church pray for you. But there is a place for the individual, for the somebody to pray. And God looks at what we do as an individual. Let this be an encouragement to you. If you are here and not a part of the body of Christ, then God wants you to respond positively to Him. Let me share a little that Jesus Christ loves you. That Jesus Christ loves you so much that God sent Him to die on the cross of Calvary. This is as good a time as any to start your walk with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died. Didn't stay dead. He's now resurrected. But He died for you. I was tempted to leave out my favorite passage, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. But let me end with it. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. You see it? God is looking at the individual. Loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what God sees. The somebody. The me. So though God loves the entire world, He still loves the somebody. That's you. And so you are sitting in the midst of persons who have already answered the call. But God is still looking and He's saying, I want you to be saved too. I am interested in you as that somebody who has not yet responded positively to the gospel. Somebody needs to come to Jesus Christ. Is that somebody you? If you have heard that good news about Jesus Christ, if you, having heard that, is now willing to put self away, turn around and put God first, that's repentance. God expects you to do that. Confess His name. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. You can do that today. You, yes. You, somebody. You can do that today. Be obedient so that when we say, somebody was obedient today, and we say, was that somebody you? You can say, yes. but come accepting Jesus Christ. What's a song of encouragement, brother? 422. That's a song of encouragement. And we really implore you to respond positively to the gospel call.